That's a good oldie there. We used to sing stuff like that in all those little southern churches when I was just a little boy. It's good to be in the Lord's house. It's good to see some faces we don't see all the time. And we've got somebody we've been praying for real hard and hadn't seen in a while, Frank Field. Raise your hand, Frank. Good to see you, brother. Been a while. And his granddaughter, Nicole, and his little great-granddaughter. Good to have you all with us today. Well, as we said earlier, Daryl's going to see if he can get by here and say something to us right toward the end of the service. But let's get into our message this morning. There is a responsive reading, and I think it'll be up here, and it's also on the insert. Let's stand together in honor of God's Word. We're talking today about taking seriously the promises of God. And these readings, by the way, there is a correction. That first passage is not 1 Corinthians 1, 1 to 22. It is 2 Corinthians 1, 18 to 22. Sorry about that. I'll read what's in the light print and ask you to read what's in the dark print, and then I'll join you on that final verse. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You for these moments that we can be gathered together here to offer praise and honor and glory to Your holy name. And Lord, to come together as those who have been bought by the precious blood of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and who have been brought into Your family, and as Your family, to meet together for worship here today, and to exalt the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to learn more of You. And Lord, we know that in the end, You teach us many things, and in the end, we have to walk in these things that You tell us about. So my prayer today is, Lord, that as Your people, more and more, we will really be walking daily in the things that You have told us about, that You teach us of in Your Word, and that through that we would experience the fullness of everything that You have for us. Promises are made, but we have to claim them and we have to act upon them. And then we receive the benefits. So Lord, speak to us today about how unchangeable and unshakable Your promises are. That Your promises are not yes and no, but they are always yes in Christ, and all we do is add our amen to them. And just take this truth, Lord, to kind of revolutionize our daily lives, that we may live in a greater measure of victory than we have up till now. And these things we ask humbly in the name of the One who gave Himself for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. In His holy and wonderful name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And if you are among those who like to follow the notes or fill in the blanks, now would be the time to get that out. And today, thanks to our church secretary, Becky Fox, we are trying something new. And you will be seeing what is on the insert. First, you'll be seeing it with the blanks. And then as we talk about them, you'll be seeing the words up there. So even if you're not filling in the blanks on your copy, you'll still get to see the words filled in there on the screen. And I appreciate Becky taking the initiative to do that. I was just thinking the other day about taking seriously, you know, the promises of God. And I think this is, not that we don't, but really, yeah, a lot of times we don't. And we ought to know better. And as Christians who have been Christians for a while especially, we ought to know better than not to take them seriously. And if, again, and I know I've said it many times, but if we're still living our lives daily, we're still fighting those day-to-day skirmishes of fear or doubt or worry, and we're laying awake at night, and we're battling with things, then that means one thing. It means that either we don't know the promises of God, or else we know them, but we're not taking them seriously. Because if we were taking them seriously, then there's no possible way that we could be in those battles that we're in and upset and worried and apprehensive and all of those things. Because God's promises are absolutely
certain, and sure.
We've talked recently about he's unchangeable. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our high tower. He's all of those things. And his promises are just as certain and unshakable as he is. So today, let's talk just a little bit about what it means to take seriously the promises of God. Let's do the general observations first. Number one, serious Christians take seriously the promises of God. Serious Christians take seriously the promises of God. Now, when I say serious Christians, I don't mean people that walk around real serious and with a frown on their face all the time. You've met Christians like that, and they don't have any joy. But what I mean is they're serious about their daily walk with the Lord. They take the time to read some from His Word every day. They are spending time in His Word, and they're taking time daily to bring things to the Lord in prayer. They're not just what we call nominal Christians. And they're not just, you know, showing up for church on Sunday, because it takes more than showing up in church on Sunday to be a serious Christian, because being a Christian is an everyday thing. It's not what we do two or three times a week when we gather down there at the church building. But it is our life lived with the Lord Jesus Christ. When those disciples answered the call to become His disciples, how much were they with Jesus? And the answer is, they were with Him 24/7. And so that's what the Christian life is. And the day we sign on with the Lord Jesus Christ, He's not just looking for us to try to kind of be a good person and make it to church at certain fixed times, although that is good and that is important, and I'm glad you're here today. But serious Christians take it further. They're into God's Word at other times. They're in Bible studies, or they're reading on their own each day. They're reading Christian books about how to grow in the Lord. And so, you know, we talk about children taking their studies seriously. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many have ever had a kid that didn't really take their studies seriously? See? And so we know whether we're taking our walk with the Lord really seriously or not. So when I say serious Christians, I mean Christians who, hey, that's the number one thing. And everything else is in second, third, fourth, fifth place. But first and foremost, I'm a Christian and I'm walking with the Lord every day. And I want to know what His Word says. And I want to believe it. And I want to obey it. And I want to act on it. And it's not just attending church. So, serious Christians take seriously the promises of God. What is it to take seriously the promises of God? That we know and understand that God means exactly what He says. And God has never said anything He didn't mean. And if He promises consequences for an action, He means it. But if He makes a promise and we're living within the terms of that promise, then He means that too. And that's an area that we need to grow in. Now, I'm taking for granted here, we're kind of operating on a given here. And like I say, that we are walking with the Lord. Not that we're perfect, but that we're walking with the Lord daily in a daily life of obedience and fellowship with Him. And everything else I say today about God's promises is based on that. Not, oh, I can do anything I want to, live any way I want to, and I can still claim all the promises of God. It doesn't work exactly that way. We can't earn our salvation, but we can't expect His blessing when we're in disobedience either. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sheldon. Number two, the Christian's life is promise-based instead of circumstance-based. And I won't belabor that a lot because I've made similar comments from this pulpit many, many times before. But the controlling thing in my life is the promises of God, not the circumstances that surround me. And it'll either be one or the other. Either circumstances will be the controlling factor in your life, and God's promises will just be something you know up here in your head, but doesn't really mean a lot and doesn't really have any application. Or else, God's promises will be what your life is based on, and will determine your responses in all of the daily situations and in all of the things that come into your life. So the Christian's life, the serious Christian's life, is promise-based instead of circumstance-based. But we have a lot of Christians today that are kind of surface Christians, and they do make it to church once in a while, but they don't really know God's promises. And so consequently, their lives are not really promise-based. And so even though they're believers and they really do love Jesus, but in times of storm and difficulty and circumstance, they're just washed back and forth just like a wave of the sea and need a whole lot of Christian encouragement and counseling and a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm not against any of that, but I'm just telling you that if you really know the promises of God, there comes a day when you don't have to call somebody every time you face something because you already know God's promises for yourself. And that is the point that the Lord wants to bring all of us to, not just some of us to. Number three, Christians walk. Now, walk is the biblical term for your daily life, just your daily routine. Christians walk literally surrounded by God's promises. And for myself, I added, much like someone walking in a field of flowers. I get a picture of standing in a field up to here in tulips or clover or something, and it's nothing but that as far as the eye can see. Out on one of those Midwestern plains, as far as the eye can see in any direction, and no matter where I move, I'm in the flowers. Anybody ever been in a cornfield? Huh? And you're in the corn, right? And no matter where you move, you're in the corn. That's how we're in the promises of God. Every move I make, I'm in the promises of God. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm in the promises of God. A Christian lives surrounded by the promises of God. Number four, taking God's promises seriously is the area of faith. Because those two, you can't take His, you know, promises seriously without the element of faith. So then we go into faith. We go into actually believing and applying what God says. Here and only here, in this area of faith and of God's promises and of claiming them and acting on them, here and only here is peace, confidence, help, and hope. And by the way, the biblical definition for hope is anticipation or expectation of what God has promised for the future. So only in that place. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And that is the place where we understand that God is in control and that God's promises are just as valid today as they were yesterday. I do like Stuart Hamblin's song. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Hallelujah. All right. Number five. The totality of God's promises, all of them put together, the totality of God's promises is the context in which every true believer should be living daily life. And God's promises are what give our life context. Number six. Now there's an asterisk next to this one, even though you don't see it, so to speak. All God's promises are for all His people. Now I'm talking about His general promises that have to do with His character and His nature. Now there are specific promises that God made to specific people at certain times that aren't for all of us. For example, when God said Sarah is going to have a baby about this time next year, I don't think that promise applies to any of the men here this morning, okay? And it doesn't apply to any of the women here either, because that one was for Sarah and Sarah only. But All of the promises, we know when we read a promise, I mean, if it's made to a specific person within a specific context, then we know that. But if God promised Joshua something, and he said, I'm going to be with you always, Joshua was a servant of the Lord, then I can be sure that what God promised Joshua, he's not going to be faithful to one of his servants and not faithful to another of his servants. So therefore, even though it was made to Joshua, I know that I can claim it for myself because it's just as valid for me as it was for him. And so, unless it's something like Sarah having a baby this time next year, you can be pretty sure, unless there's a qualifier like that, even if it was a promise made to some Bible patriarch, if it's a general promise of blessing for obedience and things like that, then we can claim it for ourselves because God has no favorites. And that's what the Bible says. So if he made it to one, he'll make it to the other. And so all of his promises like that are for all of his people. And I'm so glad because that way we know, you know, I don't have to be at a certain level in anything, educationally or money or anything else. If I'm a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, how many have ever heard that song? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am standing on his word divine. Every promise in the book is mine. And that should be the attitude of every believer. Simple little song, but a great message. Now, I'm just giving you a smattering here of some promises. These are just a smattering. The Bible is full of promises. But if all I had was just these, how many is it? 8 or something like that? If all I had was this, I would be in wonderful shape. I wouldn't need, I tell you what, these 8 right here. But let's go through them real quick. These are just some results of taking God's promises seriously. In other words, if I know the promise and I actually claim it and act on it, then this is what's going to happen. If I'm really taking God's promises seriously, number one, I know that if I mess up, he'll forgive me. And that's a real good thing to know because I run into Christians all the time that are still walking around with guilt for something they did 20 years ago, and that's a shame. Maybe the Lord's forgiven them and they haven't forgiven themselves. But if I understand how fully God has forgiven me, I won't have a problem forgiving myself. And I know that if I mess up, anybody here ever messed up? So this one's for all of us. If we claim to be without sin, then we're a liar. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, plural, and purify us from all unrighteousness. So I know if I mess up, I'm going to be forgiven. And that's a wonderful thing to know because I do mess up once in a while. Otherwise, every time I mess up, I'll be beating up on myself. Every time I mess up, I'm going to let the devil tell me, you're a failure. If you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. And that's right after he tempted me to do it. I learned some time back how the old devil operates. He'll work 10 years to get you to fall into temptation. And the minute after you do it, he'll say, see, I knew you were a phony the whole time. But even that, if I know God's promise, I'll say, let me tell you something, devil. I've messed up. But my Bible says that if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Get out of my space. Praise God. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And of course, since he gave his blood for me, all he has to do is say, I died for that, I shed my blood for that, and it's taken care of, and it's handled. Praise God. So, I don't have to, I mess up once in a while, but I don't have to walk around carrying all this guilt with me, because I know if I mess up, all I got to do is go to Him, confess it, and I'm forgiven right then, and then I can get on with my life. Praise God. If you have a flat tire on your way to work, do you stand there all morning crying and saying, I've got a flat tire, what am I going to do now? Or do you change the tire and then get on to work? So because God promised He'd forgive me, you know, it's okay, so I messed up. Okay, Lord, I realize, I confess it, I admit it to You. And Lord, forgive me right now. Cleanse me in the blood of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, I know I'm forgiven. And you go on, and you go on in victory. Amen. Just as if I've never sinned. Number two, if I really understand His promises, I know He won't let me be tempted beyond what I can bear. And sometimes we kind of wonder, I think, but I read it. Just read it over and over. No temptation has seized you. Now, temptation here not only means being tempted to do the wrong thing, but going through a trial. The same word applies to both in the Greek. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is, there's that word again, faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I had a fellow in Puerto Rico come up to me and say, if that's true, why do I see some of my brothers when they have a trial fall away? And I had never been asked that question, but the Lord gave me an answer. I said, let me ask you something. I said, in school, all those children that are in third grade, when the end of the year comes and they take their final exams, do they all pass? He said, no. I said, what's the difference between the ones that pass and the ones that don't? Is it because the test was too hard? No. It's because during the year, when the teacher was giving the information, they were making spitballs and writing notes to the pretty little girl three seats up. He will not allow me to be tempted more than I can bear. Third graders get third grade tests. Eighth graders get eighth grade tests. And 12th graders get 12th grade tests. But some don't pass the test. Is that because the test was too hard? No. It's because they didn't do their homework. But He will not let me be tempted beyond what I can bear. But when you are tempted, and this is you, it says you. When you are tempted, He, God, will also provide a way out so you can, in the King James, I think it says escape. But here it doesn't say escape, it says stand up under it. Anyway, so you can take it. Now, I'll admit this. He may allow me to be tempted beyond my physical strength and beyond my natural strength to resist, because I'm pretty weak. But what did the Apostle Paul say? And we're going to be reading that in a minute. I can do what? All things through who? Through Christ who strengthens me. So as long as I'm relying on the Lord, then, no, He's not going to, He knows my limit. And He won't let me be tempted. He'll let me be tempted, but not beyond what I can bear. So when I fail, I can't blame Him. I can only blame me. Number three, if I really understand His promises, then I know that He'll make me a conqueror in every situation. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Then he says, no, in all these things we who know the Lord, we who are believers, are, not might be, not will be, are more than conquerors through Him There it is, through Him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will make me a conqueror, it says, in all these things. Not after I've been rescued out of them. In all these things, He will make me more than a conqueror. So I can, as we say, hang my hat on that. I can be sure about that. Number four, if I understand His promises, then I know He'll supply my every need according to His riches in glory. That might be a good one to have on hand these days when food's getting ready to go up again and gas prices are so high and Dominion Power went up 18%, was it? And then the gas went up, natural gas went up 30% and all that. If I'm walking in fellowship with Him, I know He'll supply every need according to His riches and glory. Now, draw a line between needs and wants, okay? Let's not get the two confused here. My parents went through some really hard times in the early days when my older brothers were young and also when we were on the mission field when I was little. And we didn't have much, but we never missed a meal. And here I am. And God was always faithful. And He'll supply. So if I know that, then sure, I'm going to do the common sense things. The Lord gave me a brain, you know. So I'm going to do the common sense things. If I don't have a job, I'm going to look for a job, you know. I'm not going to wait for one to come to me and stuff like that. But if I'm walking in fellowship with Him and I'm putting this thing to prayer and I'm going out, He's going to see that my needs are met. How many can witness to that fact? He just is. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Number five, if I really know His promises, then I know I can meet every challenge through the strength He provides. How do I know that? Because the Apostle Paul said, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. In the King James, I think it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This may be the only verse I've memorized entirely in the Greek. Panta iskou ento endunamunti me Christo. I can do all things through the One, through the strength of the One who enables me. And so whatever it may be, we may be looking at it and we're like, there's no way. But you pray, you take a step, and I know there are a lot of folks here today, I can see some of you, and you've been through stuff already that when you first faced it, you probably felt overwhelmed and inadequate. And yet God has been faithful, hasn't He? And He's brought you every step of the way. Now, He didn't say, I can do all things because I'm... No. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Number six, if I really know His promises, then I know He'll never leave me or forsake me. And never is never. We've been told in recent years, never say never. But let me tell you something. God can say never if He wants to. And these original words, that's why I have Joshua 1:5 in parentheses there. They're quoted in Hebrews. But these original words were to Joshua when he was just taken over for Moses. How would you like to be facing that? You're taking Moses' place. You're filling Moses' shoes. And then on top of that, in just a few days, you got to cross the river and actually start taking the territory that God promised your forefathers 400 years earlier. And it was then that the Lord said to Joshua, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And the writer of Hebrews, that's one of those promises. God made it to Joshua, but it's for all of us, because the writer of the Hebrews says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And therefore, we know that promise is for all of us. Two, and we're done. If I really know His promises, then I know He'll faithfully guide me all the way. Psalm 23:3. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, for His own honor's sake. Not for me. For His own honor's sake, He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Bill Pearson, Dick Anthony, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of them, but they're two great musicians and vocalists, and they used to sing duets over 8CJB radio in Quito, Ecuador, and we used to catch it in Puerto Rico. But one of their songs was, My Lord Will Lead Me the Rest of the Way. He's led me this far. He's going to get me safely in. And one of the marvels to me at age 60 is that it seems to me that as we grow older, we're still faced with just as many decisions in a lot of ways as we were earlier in life. They're just different, but they're just as big and they're just as unsettling. And we in ourselves are just as lacking sometimes in the wisdom and in really knowing what we ought to do. And something that's been very special to me over the years is the leading and the guidance of the Lord. So we know that He will. We have a decision to make. We have a choice to make. If you really put it to the Lord in prayer, and if you're really willing for His will to be done, whatever that is, now there's a lot of ifs there, right? If you're willing to put it to the Lord in prayer, if you're willing for His will to be done, whatever that is, and if you're willing to wait until He's ready to act, I guarantee you, you'll get the guidance that you need. Every single time. And it's true, we don't. And that's why I love those verses from Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. And that's where how the guidance comes. By not trusting ourselves, and by leaning totally on Him. But He's faithful and He'll do it. Number eight, if I really know His promises, and I'll know that He is causing everything in my life to work together for good. It doesn't say that He's working everything for my temporary comfort and enjoyment. It doesn't say that. It says that in the long haul, God is taking everything in my life and He's going to make it all work together for good. We're studying the life of Joseph right now in my Sunday school class, and there's not a story in the Bible that illustrates that fact more clearly than the life of Joseph. So many setbacks, so many things that he probably had trouble understanding when they happened, so many things that he had nothing to do with and that were so unfair. And yet, when you read the whole story, you realize that the whole time God was making all of that work together for good, for His glory, and for His purposes. How many believe that God's purpose can be defeated? Do you believe God's purpose can be defeated? No. Then if you are within the purpose of God, and you are in His will, and you're doing His work, His way, the way he told you to, then don't worry about what doesn't seem to make any sense today. It won't make any sense today, but it will eventually. And God, we just have to take his word on that one. But he's given us enough stories in his word, like Joseph, that we know it's true. So today, things may not seem to make a whole lot of sense. And right now, some things might seem like they just are totally should not be. I can't tell you the exact reason for everything, but I do know this. He loves us. Do you believe that? And his purpose is going to be achieved. And he is right now causing all things, everything in our life. If we're walking in obedience to him and submission to him, he is using it all right now for the ultimate good. And I tell you one thing, if the Lord gives us time to do that, that I'm going to look forward to doing when I get to heaven, is not just seeing folks I know, but swapping stories. That's going to be wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your promises. And Lord, all we have to do is believe them and accept them and act on them and live by them and claim them. So Lord, I don't know what different ones are going through today. And I don't know which of these promises might have meant more to one than to another. But it's all your word, Lord, and you know where we're weak and you know where we need help. But I pray, Lord, as your people, as we grow and mature, that we will be people who become stable because we have learned to trust your promises in every situation. It doesn't mean we don't pray. We always pray. It doesn't mean we don't have some questions now and then. Sure, we'll have questions, but we're going to wait for you to work. But the one thing we don't have any questions about is whether you will do what you said and whether you will keep your word. And we know that you will. And that just gives us such great confidence because we don't have to know all the answers today. All we have to do is walk in obedience to you, love you, put our life situation in your hands. Really put it in your hands and let you work your way and then just walk right on confidently because we know, as it says in one place, guided by your spirit, we can't fall. And Lord, you will keep every promise you ever made because you love us all equally. Help us to receive your promises. Help us to not do it kind of short-sighted or selfishly, but just in the big scheme of things to know that you're always faithful. And that you're going to work everything out for your glory. That's our greatest source of confidence today. And we thank you for it. And it's such a wonderful part of being one of your children. Help us to do it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.